Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Feel like taking a nap? Sweet dreams, sleepyhead. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. No nap. Not if you plan on catching those Z's on your subway ride. With screeching subway stops, chattering commuters, and enthusiastic entertainers, it's a wonder anyone can fall asleep at all. But in a recent study that he did for the New York Times, Dr. Carl Bazile found that besides making yourself a possible target for pickpockets, that few minutes of shut-eye you managed to get on the train might not do much good anyway. Joining us today is Dr. Bazile, the director of the Epilepsy and Sleep Division at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Columbia University Medical Center. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No, it's a pleasure.
Now, listeners, call us up and tell us about your experience sleeping on the train. Do you have any funny or unique stories? Do you take a daily nap? What would you say is the best train to take a nap on? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, Dr. Bazile, you recently conducted a one-man study on a sleep-deprived father of a two-year-old son who doesn't sleep through the night in order to uncover which stage of sleep the brain enters while on a moving, noisy train. Tell us what you found out.
Well, I mean, this wasn't a very scientific study. It was just one person who I noticed falling asleep in a lecture, and we'd been talking about doing this, and he said, oh, that sounds cool. I'll do it. I'm always sleepy. So we hooked him up, and what we found, I was actually surprised. I thought you would not get into more than the very lightest stage of sleep, because if you look at people on the subway, usually they're just kind of, their head starts dropping, and their eyes roll around a little bit, which is usually very light sleep, and it doesn't really do much for you. But he pretty quickly went into stage two, which does seem to have some restorative properties. So that was kind of surprising.
How long do you need to sleep on the subway? I mean, to get restoration?
Well, it's all relative. You know, the only good nap study I've seen allowed you about 45 minutes. And that did show some improvement in one particular kind of memory, performance after you take a nap. But there's lots of other studies that say it really does not by any means replace an overnight sleep in terms of your alertness and in terms of your overall functioning. But you might be able to get a little help, and it may be better than nothing. One of the other things I noticed, though, is, which I expected, is when he really did get into the deeper stages of sleep, it was the longer periods of time between stops. And every time the train would stop and, you know, the doors open, people come on, the conductor makes an announcement, he would always wake up.
So that doesn't seem to give you a whole lot of time. Would you recommend it for anybody? High school students? I mean, they have to get up, you know, some of them have to get up really early and have long commutes.
Well, I don't know if I can really recommend it for anybody, but because you're not really, that's not the best place to sleep. And as you said at the beginning, you know, maybe things could happen that you don't intend to. You know, people can pickpocket you, go through your bags or whatever. I mean, I ride the A train every day, and I've never seen anything like that. I've seen lots of people falling asleep, though. So I don't think I'd recommend it, but I suppose if it's better than nothing if you just can't get enough sleep.
So what I hear you saying, it does beat a blank.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It gives you a little bit of help getting through your day if you can actually drop off on the subway.
All right, let's take some calls. Kevin from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, one time I was on the subway and a person drifted off to sleep and they nodded off into a little deeper sleep and put their head back and fell asleep, you know, like nodding on and off with their head back. And this young man getting off the train coughed up a big lungie and spit in the guy's mouth on his way out the train. And that was always just a beware to me of falling too deep asleep on the train from then on.
That would probably much turn you off it for life.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, did you? I don't know, Dr. Bazile, if you sort of you know, took any measure of your vulnerability, you know, sort of weighing the potential shut eye benefit versus the potential, you know, downside of making yourself vulnerable to these kinds of behaviors.
Well, when we did this, I mean, the guy was surrounded. I mean, I was there. The reporter Christine Honey was there. There was a photographer there, and of course, So it was pretty obvious to anybody who was paying attention there was something going on here. I don't think that Brandon, the epilepsy fellow who volunteered for this, was in any danger. But of course, it being New York, people didn't pay any attention. I mean, they just sat down next to him. He went off to sleep. The photographer's clicking away. Nobody paid any attention.
All right, let's take a call from Topher from Manhattan. Now, Topher, you like to sleep on the subway?
Yes, I do like to sleep on the subway. It's very comfortable at the end of the night. And I like to sleep on the Q train so that I can wake up in Coney Island.
I feel like I'm being put on here.
No. There was a period of time in which I was working late at night, and I would fall asleep on the way home out to Beverly Road. And to wake up in Coney Island is quite a wonderful experience.
Uh-huh. And then you would what? Turn around and go back to Beverly
Turn
Road?
Turn around and head home nice and refreshed.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
So you would purposely ride the train to sleep there because you like sleeping there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for your call. We have another caller who wants to talk about that rocking to sleep effect. Diego, hi. You're on WNYC.
Yeah. How are you guys? Well, I never really decide to fall asleep on the train. I'm rocked away by the wobbling of the train, and I fall asleep. It's something that disgracefully happens to me a lot, moving around the five boroughs.
All right, let me ask you about that, Carl Bazile. The idea of sort of rocking to sleep. I mean, there would seem maybe like you could get better sleep on a subway train. In some ways.
I think what that comes down to is your brain associates certain situations with sleep. I mean, I see the reverse all the time. People who have difficulty falling asleep, one of the predominant things that happens is they associate trying to go to sleep with anxiety. So their bedroom jazzes them up. They get all excited. They're worried they can't fall asleep. And, you know, lo and behold, they don't fall asleep. Those might be the people who then get on the subway. They're not worried about falling asleep. They've got a long time, they've got nothing to do, and they've learned this pattern where this lulling motion is associated with sleep, so they tend to drop off.
That's the same people? They can't sleep in their bedroom, only on the subway?
It can be. I mean, when I see insomnia patients, you know, one of the first things I ask them is, well, what about falling asleep in other places? And, you know, they may fall asleep on the couch, no problem. They may fall asleep in a hotel when they're away from home, no problem. It's their bedroom that, you know, their brain is unfortunately associated with anxiety about falling asleep rather than actually going to sleep.
So what do you recommend for people like that? Like they fall asleep in the...
Ride the Q train. Actually, I haven't recommended that before, but maybe that's an idea. No, what you have to do is teach them that and teach them how to break the association. So you just don't want to spend lots of time lying awake in bed, ruminating about not going to sleep. You know, some of these people will take their computers to sleep because they think, well, I'll just sit in bed and I'll do something. But what they're really doing is reinforcing that environment with being awake rather than asleep. So you have to try and break that association.
All right, let's take a call from Ed from Brooklyn. Hi, Ed. You're on WNYC.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I actually just wanted to make a comment that there's an app for that. I was trolling around the app store looking for MTA apps recently and noticed something called NYC Subway Snooze that apparently will alert you when you're reaching your stop so that you don't sleep through it.
Really?
Oh.
I'm not sure exactly how it works.
How it
I mean,
back.
I've seen ones
really?
for commuter rail that actually use GPS, but it's just kind of funny that this is predominant enough that somebody's creating apps for it.
Did you try it?
I have not yet tried it, no.
I would like for people to try that app, and you can go and you can put your comment on the Brian Lehrer page at WNYC.org. I'd love to know how it works and how it knows when you've gotten to your subway and whether it's time-based, because there is, of course, no GPS in the subway. But thanks for that tip, Ed, and we'll have to check that one out. Let's take another call. Let's go to Dana from Brooklyn. Hi, Dana. You're on WNYC.
Hi. I found that the best train to sleep on, if and when I do doze off, would be the A and or the C. The A, because it's just long and it's, you know, mainly underground and it's dark, and the C... the same way. I mean, the C has more frequent stops, but I don't go on the train to sleep, but I do find that the constant hum and the rocking on the A and the C is ideal for catching a quick nap.
Well, all right, the A or the C.
Too. because I ride the A every day, and it's between. And there's also a long period of time. This is where, you know, Brandon, our subject, had the longest sleep between 125th and 59th. Unless, of course, you end up on the train with the bongo drums.
Now, do you do this, Carl Bazile? Do you sleep on the subway?
I never fall asleep on the subway. I can't say it's never happened, but I bury my face in journals or books and, you know, don't usually pay any attention to what's going around or who's sleeping around me. But, you know, it's also very easy when you're younger. I mean, I'm 50 years old, so I don't drop off to sleep that easily. Most of the people I talk to who do this a lot are, you know, in their 20s and 30s, and it's much easier to fall asleep at that age, or maybe they're just a lot more sleep-deprived also.
So as someone who – so you're not sleep-deprived, though. You sleep well at night?
Well, I'm a sleep specialist, so I try to practice what I preach. Not that I never get sleep-deprived, but I try not to.
And that works out for you?
Yeah, I think I've got it down. I mean, my biggest coup, I think, is conquering jet lag. So I do that pretty well, and lots of people talk to me about how to do it. But, yeah, I mean, I try to have good sleep habits, and I think recognize the importance. So
we have to end it there. Thanks so much, Dr. Carl Bazile, Professor of Clinical Neurology and Director of the Division of Epilepsy and Sleep at Columbia University, recently profiled in a story by Christine Hawney in the New York Times on what happens when you sleep on the subway.